Let's face it, life isn't easy. If you're stuck in a bad relationship, betrayed or afraid of tomorrow, financially insecure, or desperate for a breakthrough, you've come to the right place. Dr. Carmen Hara is a renowned psychologist, intuitive, relationship expert, and best-selling author, and she's here to give you the miracle guidance you need. Her new call-in show, Miracle Guidance for Everyday Life, offers profound wisdom, practical advice, daily exercises, and empowering predictions, all for you. Dr. Hara's show aims to eliminate everyday problems, big and small, with topics like healing your relationships, reclaiming your power, achieving better health, dealing with loss, and so much more. Regain the joy, stability, and fulfillment you deserve to feel. Tune in to Miracle Guidance for Everyday Life with host Dr. Carmen Hara, live every Tuesday at 7 p.m. Eastern, and find the answers you've been looking for.
Good evening, everybody. Welcome to another episode of Miracle Guidance. I'm Dr. Carmen Hara, so happy to be with you tonight and every Tuesday night at 7 p.m. right here on my favorite station, Home Time Radio. And tonight we're going to talk about how important it is to reduce stress, something that you heard a million times, how to increase serenity. And I offer you an hour of tranquility because no one enjoys feeling stressed, but our modern world makes us almost nearly impossible for us not to worry about one thing or another thing every single day. There are bills to pay, traffic, debts, problems with health, problems at home, deadline. Any of these feelings can keep you stuck in a permanent fight or flight mode. Stress not only keeps us stagnant, but it makes us physically, emotionally, and mentally sick. We all trying to work through our problems, but this process is different for everyone, and it can be sometimes truly difficult. It's very hard to navigate through everything that's happening in your life, and just standing on the news can make you feel sick to your stomach. There's every day another killing. Every day there's another threat. For those of us who suffer already from anxiety, all kinds of manic disorder, panic disorder, all kinds of mental disorder, the current state of the world makes us feel worse, way worse. We don't know what tomorrow will bring, and that's a very, very, very scary thought. Now, we've learned that negative emotion translate into health problem, and that is a big statement. You can frame it, put it on the wall every second of your life, look at that wall and say, yes, my negative emotion will harm me. Between heavy feelings like anger, resentment, bitterness, the correlation between this and diseases like cancer, autoimmune, diabetes is more rooted and more connected than we can imagine, because our feelings are the building blocks of our health. Many disorders are triggered by toxic emotion. In fact, according to the American Institute of Stress, stress is the basic cause of 60% of the human illnesses and diseases. We've always been taught that being busy is actually a good thing. But this type of nonstop lifestyle in which we have no time for anything but our routine can take a big toll on our well-being. So what about the importance of staying still? So staying still once in a while healing yourself and paying attention to your needs. So in the Western world, we don't give ourselves a break. We're always running around. We're always running late. We're always running from one problem into another. Now it's time that we stop putting our worries before our well-being and start promoting peace. Peace that radiates from within. And as I said, being that moment of being still and taking a deep breath, and it's okay not to think of anything else, to the release and detach from any emotion that is negative. Peace of mind is vital to progress. Peace of mind is vital to personal fulfillment. So learning to accept, to progress and mitigate emotion will grant you not only that inner peace I'm talking about, but also the physical wellness As we all know, we have to accept that. We must not feed into fear. It's important. We must not feed into fear, because if we shift our thinking, we shift our circumstances. So remember, you shift your thinking, the things around you will shift. The circumstances, the situation in itself will change. Now, stress is hard to deal with because at any given moment, we have multiple reasons to feel stress. But here's the irony of it. Stress comes from our lack of control. But we cannot have control over everything. So that's like a catch-22. So stressing over the things we can change not only does not help a situation, but it disempowers us forever. When we stress, we become desperate. We cannot think straight. And we start making mistakes after mistakes, because you cannot think straight. And why? Because you stress. The universe can help us find the solution if we are obsessed with the problem. Because under those kind of emotions, we're not receptive to the divine guidance, and we are at the mercy of everything else. So stressing over something does the opposite of what we want to do. It leaves us with less control. I've noticed that one of the greatest laws of the universe is that, and it's actually this, the less you worry about something, the more likely is to be resolved. So when you start stressing over something, that problem gets bigger, gets out of your control, and it amplifies. That, as I said, the less you worry, the most likely is that problem will resolve on its own. Now, the book of Ecclesiastes in the Bible offers us the following words of wisdom. There is a time to scatter stones and a time to gather them. Now is the time to gather our stones, to slow down and truly take care of ourselves and the people around us. We will always have plenty of time to scatter stones later on. But if you want to listen to a thing that will calm you down, that is called a meditation, I created one. I created a meditation that can reduce stress. And in order to listen to that meditation, anytime you feel like you're overwhelmed with all these emotions and you feel overly stressed, go to Google and search for Carmen Harad guided meditation. And when you said Carmen Harad guided meditation, it will be the first on the top of your list. Now, I'm talking about stress, but there's a danger of stress. The statistics of stress are alarming. According to the American Institute, like I said before, the Institute of Stress, 3 out of 4 people go to doctor visits that are stress-related. They have illnesses that are caused by stress. So half of the Americans feel more stress nowadays than they feel 5 years ago. And 1 in 5 Americans experience extreme stress that causes what? Shaking, heart palpitation, depression, heart bad pressure. The collapse of different organs. So I want you to know that you have to understand the significance of managing stress. Now people say, well, I know how to manage stress. Do you really know how to do it? Because stress, what it does, I want to tell you, I'll take it one at a time. I'll give you like a number of things that you have to pay attention to stress. First of all, stress will lower your immune system. When you stress, the immune system's ability to fight off antigen is reduced. That is why we are more susceptible to infection, because the immune system is going that low, is lower and lower. That is why we are not, working to protect it. The system doesn't work to protect our body. And the stress hormone, corticosteroid, can suppress the effectiveness of the immune system. And this means that it lowers the number of lymphocytes in the body. So that's one thing. So stress can affect the immune system, number one. Number two, stress can affect our sympathetic system. When the body is stressed, our nervous system contributes to what something that is called flight or flight response. So the body shifts its energy towards fighting off a threat, or fleeing from a perceived enemy. The sympathetic system sends signals to adrenal gland to release hormones that are called adrenaline, epinephrine, cortisol. So these three hormones are released the moment the sympathetic system sends a signal that there's something wrong to the adrenal gland. And this is why you're in a rush. This is why you feel your heart beat so fast and you cannot even breathe. This is why, you know, your blood pressure goes to the roof. And it's okay for a short period of time to have those hormones a little bit released, you can control, but if it takes longer, the sympathetic system will release too many chemicals and your body is not gonna be able to cope with this mechanism. And this is when the body vital signs are affected. A lot of people come to me and complain of very high blood pressure, not knowing how to solve the problem. Reality is that you can, how should I put it? You can control, if you control, you know, the sympathetic system, you indirectly control your blood pressure, the level of your sugar in your body, the function of different organs, so the function of your kidneys, of your heart, and so on and so forth. Now, stress can harm the digestive system. Remember that. The effects of stress on your gut depends on the length of time you experience stress. Now, short-term stress can cause you to lose your appetite, your digestion slows down. Long-term stress can trigger gastrointestinal issues, constipation, indigestion, gastritis, ulcer. So all of that are stress-related, believe it or not. Now, stress can make us do and say erratic things. It influences the nervous system. When you feel overwhelmed and you stress, you start to blow things out of proportion. You start fighting with the people around you. You can lash out of others who didn't do anything wrong to you or don't deserve this. But this can lead us to say things to the people we love, hurting them, causing irreparable harm in a relationship just because we cannot control the stress and we start saying and doing erratic things. Now stress, believe it or not, stress can become addictive. Like anything else in life, stress can is addictive, and stress may even be as addictive as drugs. In addition to the hormones like adrenaline, non-adrenaline, epinephrine, stress can also release dopamine. Dopamine is a neurotransmitter, a so-called feel-good chemical. Now, dopamine encourages repeating behavior by activating the reward center in the brain, and may be at the heart of many addictive behavior and many substance abuse issues. So remember, when that happens, you know, dopamine, that is a neurotransmitter, is a catecholamine in the brain, encourages for you to repeat something in the brain and activating the reward center. And this is the way, you know, you create, without realizing, addictive patterns of behavior. Now, stress can make us feel impulsive and create harmful behavior. Like, for instance, eating is a common coping mechanism for stress. So when you stress, you start eating and without controlling it. And it can actually make you more stressed. And by overeating, you know, it leads to a lot of weight gain. And then good luck in getting rid of that weight. So the stress triggers our body's fight or flight mechanism by cortisol increasing hunger, because the body craves energy to fight, you know, that stress that we are facing. So this is the medical way of explaining why you wake up so overweight. What's going on with you? So this is the way it all happens. So eating is a coping mechanism for stress, but also stress triggers the fight to flight, releasing cortisol in the bloodstream, and cortisol increases the hunger. And this is the way you start eating and craving all kinds of food that are not good for you, especially junk food, because you crave the energy. the energy, that the food that is high in calories, in sugar, high in fat, exactly something that you should never have. Unfortunately, this food actually increases stress. So you actually eat something that will make your stress go worse, and on top of that, you become very overweight. Now, being overwhelmed with stress can also disrupt normal eating pattern. So you don't eat normally. You start eating, you know what I mean, without controlling what you're doing, without controlling the food that you, the intake of food and the food that you eat. So that's why it's very important. Studies show that stress levels do not decrease overeating. So food is not going to make you feel less stressed. It's actually going to make your anxiety go worse. Now, stress is aging you. Remember that? A lot of people have a lot of wrinkles in their 50s, 60s, because what does stress do? Breaks down the skin collagen and elastin. So those things in your skin, as they break down, they trigger an inflammatory response of the body, and it hurts you at every level. It hurts you, even your sleeping habits. Creates inflammation in the body. And this is when your body is aging and getting out of control and getting sick. Now, it also can harm a body. So if you're a very stressful pregnant woman, remember during pregnancy, stress can increase. So be aware that in many cases, you know, the baby is affected by this stress. So make sure you control this. And also, if you want to talk to me about your health, the level of your stress, the things that are happening in your life that you cannot control, feel free to call in 202-570-7057. I don't really understand why many of you are listening to the show, but you're never calling. Everybody that calls are the same people who got used to call. But please call in, those listening to the show, feel free to communicate with me. It's such an honor, such a pleasure to talk to you directly. My book that came out not a long time ago, Committed, is still out. And I have my new book called Plus One. And it's a published house is going to release this book in the next number of months. And I'm very excited to introduce you this concept very soon. Also, I had a conference, which I'm grateful that a lot of you participated. And I have a new one in October about how to live a long and healthy life. It's all about longevity, which are the secrets to longevity. So in June, you want to be part of this conference, I encourage you to participate and send an email to my assistant, Sarah or Emmanuel, at Carmen Harare Well, and let them know that you want to be part of my new conference, which is actually at a very, very reasonable price of $40-something, but you also get a free session. So also you learn a lot, and you become part of my community of people interested in making their lives better, improving their health, and living a life without stress. Now, I want to go and take some of your calls, and then we're going to talk about action that can boost stress, can boost serenity, and action that you need to take in order to release everything within you that's kind of bothering you and causing you more stress and anxiety. I'm going to go and see who's actually with me. I know there's a lot of you calling in. And I'm going to, my first call is Julia, then is Patty, then is Elani, then is Koi, and then is Padma from Chicago. Hi, my lovely Padma, I'm so glad to hear from you. And you guys, all of you, 202-570-7057, all of you should call in if you have any kind of a question. So I'm going to go first to Julia because she's calling from overseas. Hi, my lovely Julia, how are you, my beautiful friend?
Hi, my lovely Carmen. I'm doing just great. How are you?
So how did you enjoy the conference?
I did, and actually that's why I called, because I have some questions related first to the pinnacles. You talk about them.
Right.
So this is the first one. I read that if your life path is 3, like mine, your first pinnacle actually runs from 0 to 35, 34. I will turn 33
this
year.
No, the first pinnacle runs from when you're born to the age of 30.
No matter what the life path.
No, yes. Yeah, so the pinnacle, the first pinnacle is only 30 years of your life.
Mm-hmm.
And then you have to calculate that. And your next pinnacle will be till 39. The following will be till 49. And then your last pinnacle. So life has four major pinnacles, major phases of life. And every single one, I'm not going to go in details because it can take me a long time to go and describe, you know, things that people can find out at a conference. And by the way, Julia, let me let everybody listening that in case you want the conference, you can actually purchase it. I think it's $5, $10. Buy it, listen to it, learn something out of it. There's tons of information that they're very useful for you to find out yourself, to learn about things in this world. It's just everything I've learned in so many, many years of my life. So I want you guys, if you're interested, get the conference. If you go to carmenhara.com, you can actually click on shop and purchase the conference. It's like, I think, $5 or $10. So the price of a coffee, even less. But the amount of information and things you learn about yourself in the conference is way, way more valuable. So so this is with the pinnacles, Julia. So what was the question about your own pinnacles?
Yeah, if my second pinnacle is 5, what would be the major event or even tragedy that could happen in my specific case? What can you see?
So in other words, how old are you? You 32, 31?
33.
So you're in the second pinnacle, and if you calculate your second pinnacle, you actually realize that that's a number 5. Now, every single pinnacle is different from one individual time to another, you know. You never know which pinnacle. So unless you do the calculation, you're not going to know. Pinnacle 5 is interesting. It is the pinnacle in which you have to find yourself. The pinnacle in which you have to learn how to remove yourself, to detach, to travel, to be free, to rediscover the meaning in your life, which you didn't so far. It's a self-discovery pinnacle. It's a pinnacle of evolution. It's a pinnacle that doesn't necessarily say you have to settle down. You're on a quest of reinventing you. You're on a quest of finding true meaning about life. And that's okay. You know, some people find things in life at 39 or in their 40s. It looks like you need to take your time to investigate life itself, in which way you relate to your own existence.
Okay. And then, you know, I listen to you very carefully. As a woman, I'm missing from my date of birth both number 2 and number 5. That's translating to having issue with both my parents. Now, I'm working with a psychologist that I was assigned from my insurance, and she proposed to me to have some specific session to work on my relationship with my mom and dad because she's also a psychotherapist. Do you think this could be beneficial?
Well, any work on... how was the relationship with your parents?
Kind of distant, let's say, and a bit cold.
Right. So you see, it's interesting. You're missing the 2 and 5. What you are told indirectly through your divine codification is say your parents might not be that driving force. They are not there. So consequently, just confirming that, hey, they are distant. It's like talking to them, I feel they're not resonating to me. Not that they don't love me, but they're not there. I don't feel the connection. I don't feel the support that I'm supposed to feel for them. You understand? So that's very, very powerful to know. Very, very significant to know. Yeah. And I agree that working with this lady, and you can even work with me, you can work with whom you want to choose to work, can not only help in improving the quality of the relationship, but also improving the way you feel about them and giving you the sense of acceptance, the sense of gratitude, even if they're not in your life. You're not judging them. You don't suffer because of this. And you try to continue to hope and build that in the future, things will get to normality and will improve. You understand?
Yeah, I do. I do.
Right.
Yeah. And then, Carmen, very quick, on my job, you said that in May or June, Do you see any kind of super details so I can recognize the opportunity?
I know you're going to get a job, and I know it's something, it's offer. It's an overseas job. It's either
okay,
New York,
so it's going to be remote.
Another part. Yeah, yeah, exactly. And it's working with a very handsome man who seems to be a foreigner, tall. I mean, it's like it's opening a big door, I feel, for you. I feel for you there's a beginning of a new career on a different path, taking your career mm-hmm. to another level of power. That's the way it's going to feel.
Okay. Then I'm going to wait for that. Keep finger crossed for me, and thank you.
Okay, beautiful.
Thank you.
I'm going to go to Patty from Queens, my lovely Patty. How are you, my beautiful friend and wonderful person? How are you, my Patty?
Hi, Carmen. I hope you're doing well.
I love you, sweetie. I'm very good. You?
Fine. I want to give you an update about my mom.
Tell me.
She was supposed to do a breast biopsy the first Monday in April.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And she didn't end up doing it because this is the third time she had it canceled, because that morning she fell off her bed. And she ended up in the emergency room, and her legs were very weak. Now, she is on blood thinners, so she had to stay off her blood thinners for 4 days. And her legs were very weak. She was hospitalized for 3 days. They did a CAT scan and x-rays. The doctor at the ER said, there's nothing wrong. And then I got a hold of that CAT scan. It says that she had a TIA. But we wasn't sure when she had the TIA, and they found a lesion on her skull. So now she went to rehab, and now she's home. She's actually better. She's walking around today.
Okay,
she's all right. She's much better. She's actually prepared dinner. She's moving around more, and she's up until yesterday, anytime I went outside when she came home, she had to go to bed or she had to sit in a chair. Today was the first day that I had to go to a local Stop and Shop for an hour to get some stuff, and she was walking around by herself with a walker, and she's doing fine. Today she said she has more energy. She's feeling better. So the week before, get this, the week before that she was supposed to do the biopsy, I prayed to God, I asked him, if you don't want her to do the biopsy, then stop her. But if you do want her to do it, open up the road, and please don't let the biopsy be painful. I got my answer.
Right.
God doesn't want her to do it. So now I found out we're going to do, the doctor's going to put into her insurance to get authorization for her to do an MRI on the brain and on the breast, because they say that the, and I'm asking you as a medical person, can an MRI be like the breast biopsy? Can it show more like a breast biopsy?
No. An MRI is actually a very good way of getting deep into the tissue. It's way better than a CT scan, but it's not a biopsy. A biopsy, it goes locally there and detects if there are any cancerous cells or any cells that are malignant. So it's something that the MRI fails to do. There is one thing that your mother can do, which is called a PT scan. The PT scan is actually the one that really detects cancer. And it's a very interesting procedure that I recommend for anybody who has ever had cancer to make sure they don't have it anymore. And also tell your mother to do the CEA blood work, which will show if there is any marker of cancer. It's a marker of cancer. It shows if there's a specific level in the bloodstream, if there is cancer or not. So if it's anything between 0 to 2.5, your mother is fine. If it goes over 2.5, or if it reaches a level an 8, 9, that the cancer is metastasized in the body. So that's a blood work that shows clearly the level of the cancer. If the cancer is in good limits, then she should not be worried, with or without the biopsy. Now, did she had cancer before?
Yeah, she had pancreatic cancer in 99, and they were able to remove the tumor, and she never got no chemo or radiation. But
incredible.
But even you said
if you
that
remove the tumor, then you don't need
Right, but what you said to me a few months ago when I told you about the lumps that my mother had, you didn't feel anything.
I still don't.
Okay.
No.
And that's good.
But just for precaution,
yes, of course.
Tell her to do the CEA. Tell her to do the PT scan because that's very, very good to do for somebody who has ever had any type of cancer. Because that it's a scanning that takes around an hour, and it shows if there is any cell that is cancerous, you know, it lights up and it shows where it is. So it's, of course, it has a margin of error like everything, but it's right. Probably the most comprehensive. I would do that before doing an MRI, you know.
If her insurance,
I'll do the CA to see the marker for cancer to see where she stands, if there's anything spread or if it doesn't show normal image, that should not even worry. Second of all, I do the PT scan. I'll go into probably doing the biopsy, but first I'll see these two results.
Right.
You know.
But she's scared. You want to hear something? She's scared to do the biopsy because she's scared of needle. But this is the third time that she got canceled, and especially on the day that she was supposed to do it. To me, that was a sign of God that He doesn't want her to do the biopsy.
Okay, that's very interesting. Probably because she doesn't have anything, but a way to find out is by simply doing a blood work, you know?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, and want to hear something?
For cancer.
And you want to hear something? The strangest thing was that just on Monday, I had a dream, or this weekend, I had a dream that...
Right.
Just hear this out, that my mother was in the funeral home and they were going to put embalming fluid on her. But I told them twice.
Right.
No, I told them once, I had a dream that they were going to put the embalming fluid and I said to stop it because
right. She's
still alive. She's still alive and she was alive.
Right.
And then I went back to sleep and I had a similar dream that they tried to put embalming fluid on her and I stopped it.
Well, you know what, I feel like this is more an indication to be careful with those people. You cannot 100% trust, even if it's a medical field, errors are happening all the time. So be
right.
careful, you know, where she go, who she's in touch with, and try to make in such a way that she's as safe as possible. In everything she does, she needs to be safe. We
right.
need to make sure that whatever procedure she does is not going to harm her more. Causing more harm
yep.
than helping her, you know?
Yeah, but I have a feeling that dream, to me, means that that she doesn't need something.
She likely might not do it. Yeah, absolutely. But, you know, doing a simple blood work, that's so simple. As much as she's scared of needle, by taking just a drop of blood to do the CEA, that's important, you know?
No. Let me tell you something. She's okay. She's terrible getting IV fluids because she's dehydrated. When we're making her,
right.
even all the nurses were telling us she got to drink water. But to do a simple blood test, she has no problem.
There's something that I want your mother to do, if she's good with the IVs, put glutathione and vitamin C once a week into the bloodstream. My God, that's the best treatment anti-cancer ever, even... If you ever had cancer or the danger of any cancer, that is the alternative for a cancer treatment. That's the alternative.
Yeah. All right. Oh,
and you know what
can
actually cure cancer? Fasting. So
yes,
why
yes.
fasting cure cancer? Because you by not eating, you know, the body will eat those abnormal cells because
yes.
cancerous cells are way bigger than the normal cell. They are so-called immortal cells, you know?
Yeah.
The cells that don't want to die, and they want to survive by eating all the other cells around them. But if you deplete the body from resources, then the body, the immune system will go and eat those big cells, will eat them alive, you know what I mean? What kills
yes.
cancer is eating fruits and vegetables and not animal products. Not
yes.
Anything that is that has to do with how should I say all kinds of processed meat and stuff like that. So stay away from that. Stay away from that
okay.
if you want to live a long life and never have cancer. And take all the antioxidants. that I talk about, the Carbon 60 that I spoke recently with the company that brought Carbon 60 that had the Nobel Prize, you know, and they exist on the market. So make sure you do the right thing for your body. Tell your mother to do all of that. And she, tell your mother she will be fine. First of all, tell her she'll be perfectly fine. But there's a protocol of what she needs to do, you know?
Yeah.
Okay, my
But like, I agree with my dream also that that she was supposed to do biopsy. That I think the dream was telling me that she doesn't need it. So obviously,
right, I agree.
To me,
I agree.
Another quick thing. I just want to give you an update about my union at my job. They came to an agreement, but the problem is right now is that my company sent the contract to my union, and the union's taking a long time to, because they have to go through the contract to make sure that everything is, they have to look and to make sure everything is correct and legit before they come back to my company, and so our union members can vote on it. When do you think that's going to happen? When will the union finally give the union members the contract to vote on? Because it's taken them a long time to get the contract back.
I think in the next 10 days, 2 weeks, something like that, is all going to happen.
Okay. All right. But I wanted to give you some good news. Today I was calling just to tell you the good news about my mom, you know, that God spoke
it. Send her my love.
Yes, I will. I will.
Okay, my beautiful. I love you, my Patty.
I love you too, Carmen. You are such a wonderful person. Thank you.
I love you. So are you. So I'm going to go to Leilani. Hi, Leilani, my lovely. How are you?
And how are you?
Can you hear me?
Yes, can you hear me?
I can hear you. How's everything?
You know, it's pretty good. I love your topic today. I have been under a little stress because there's just a situation with the way my mother treats my sister. And my mother used to treat me the way, it's almost like she's a bully and she takes her pain out on us. And my mom doesn't really do it to me anymore because I don't put up with it. And so my sister called me the other day venting about it. And the thing with my sister is I can't really give her advice or say anything. She gets triggered. But I'm so hurting that my mom is lashing out and taking out her pain on my sister. My sister lives in the same town, and she does a lot for her. And I think they do fight. I don't know how to deal with it. I wanted to see what you thought.
No, I don't think you should interfere here, you know. As much as you want to say something or you want to help both of them in a way or another, it's a karmic interference. It's something called a family karma, you know, and very hard to to be on one side. You cannot be on anybody's side here because you don't want to be on your sister's side, though you see the wrongdoing, and you don't want to be on your mother's side. So that's why, in a way, probably guiding them separately by not encouraging the conflict, it's all you can do. But interfering between them, taking sides, you cannot do that.
Because I wanted to say, you know, Mother's Day is coming up, and my mom, she'll lash out and treat my sister and I like really bad, and then she'll say, Mother's Day is coming, my birthday's coming. She loves gifts. So to me, I wanted to say initially when I arrive on Mother's Day, you know what, if you don't stop treating Gigi this way, I'm not going to come anymore. But you don't think I should do that?
No, I would not do that. No. No.
So it's almost like though I'm pretending that nothing's wrong?
It's not pretending. You can't. This is what your mother needs to realize without your pointing the words, you know. She will resent you. She will be angry. She will mistreat you, you know. She will not accept that you tell her what to do. She will not enjoy that. She will not celebrate that. She will go against you. So what are you accomplishing? So this is the way to think. If I talk to the wall and I see no no difference. Why should I do? Why should I waste my energy in a direction where I see nothing is coming out of it?
Well, then I don't want to give her a Mother's Day gift. You know, it's hard for me to...
That's perfectly fine.
It's almost like it's hard for me to...
Right.
Celebrate her when she's acting this way. Does that make sense? I don't know.
It does make sense. Yeah, absolutely. But I will not fight with her, you know? I will not argue. I will not fight. I will not.
What do I tell my sister when she's telling me all this? How can I deal with my sister?
Do I have a lot of compassion for your mother? She's getting older. She's acting irrational, and she should not put up with her. She should forgive her and try to be less around her.
But I can't give my sister advice. That's the problem.
Tell her what you think. Don't make it sound like it's an advice. Make it sound like an opinion. And let her make her own decision what she should do.
Okay.
Because I don't think that at this stage in your life or in their lives is recommended to try to influence or to determine what they would choose to do.
My sister doesn't invite me over to her house. It's very hurtful. Uh-huh. And I told her, I want to come and see your house. And she said, well, I'll decide if that happens.
Right.
Do you think she just doesn't want me there so she can have her own space?
Maybe, yeah. Yeah, I think that's the truth.
Because I would love to go even early and stay the night with my sister, but she doesn't invite. She's not very, like...
She doesn't. Agree. Yeah, I agree.
So maybe I just...
That's sad. That's sad. When you have situations like this that are inside the family, it's very difficult. Yeah.
Yeah. But you said it's karma.
Oh, it's a family.
Without a doubt, yeah. With no doubt in my mind, yeah.
No, do you think I'm quickly, mind. Am I doing okay with the situation?
Thank you so much for
okay, thank you.
I go to, I have a lot of people still, like, hi Koi, hi Padma, hi Valerie. You guys, hold on the line. I'm going to take a short break, and then I'll go straight to Koi in New York, then to Padma in Chicago, and then to Valerie in California. Guys, hold on the line.
The best of the holistic, spiritual, and conscious world. OM Times Radio. IOM FM. Host your show on IOM FM, the radio network of OM Times Media, one of the more recognized brand names in the conscious community, and is backed by the extensive marketing reach of OM Times. Hosting a show on IOM FM immediately connects you with our extensive, dedicated community.
My name is Victor Furman. Some call me The Voice. I've always been fascinated with human nature, spirituality, science, and the crossroads at which they meet. Join me Wednesdays at 8 p.m. Eastern on OM Times Radio, and we'll explore these topics and so much more on Destination Unlimited.
Ascending Hearts is no ordinary dating site, but a spiritual dating site with a purpose, to link you with your soulmate. We engineer the serendipity so you can trust that you will attune with someone that has the same matching vibration as you. Ascending Hearts, the conscious dating site for the spiritually aware. Try Ascending Hearts for free, ascendinghearts.com.
You came across someone struggling with hunger. How would you recognize them? Would you notice an 8-year-old girl who's not excited for summer break
because she may not be having lunch again until September?
Or a war veteran who's having a hard time landing a job
and getting back on his feet?
I am the 1 in 8 Americans who struggle with hunger. I am hunger in America.
Hunger can be hard to recognize. Learn why at IamHungerInAmerica.org. Brought to you by Feeding America and the Ad Council.
And I'm back. I think I'm going to go and take my next caller, which I think is Koi. Hi, my lovely Koi. How are you, my dear?
How are you, my Carmen? You know, you're my special friend. I just sent you some hearts and kisses through the ether to help, you know, dissolve the last caller's family energy. So I didn't want that to stick too long for you. So I did it without permission. I just wanted to let you know I did that.
That's beautiful. And thank you so much. You're such a beautiful light. Then how's everything with you? Is there something I can do for you? Is there any way I can be at service? I can help you with something?
You always are of service, and thank you so much for asking. I like the topic about the stress. Uh-huh. And
Yes.
I don't need to confirm to you that is everything you said about stress, that is absolutely correct.
Right.
I've lived in duress from probably the day I was born. But my starting out before I even came into the world wasn't, pleasant. Let's put it like that. But anyway, coming to the present, I have been, I seem to be in this funk, and I need help to get out of it. It's not negative. It's almost like I feel like I'm becoming a recluse. Ever since my brother passed, a year ago, and I was just wondering if you could connect with, you know, my heavenly helpers and ask them if they could, give you a message for me.
Well, I tell you what the message I get right away. I think your brother is telling you to practice detachment, you know, to detach from what has been hurting you, detach from the suffering of losing him. If you can do that, that would be amazing, because you know, that detach from the pressure of the past, letting go of the situation that is still blocking you unconsciously, letting go that negative emotion. Why did this happen to me? How could it happen? You know, because this is the only way to regain a healthy emotional flux. You want to become unburdened. You want to become unblocked, you know. So practicing detachment is something that I recommend to you and for everybody listening. By training the brain to think less about what worries you, in such way, thoughts like this will steadily slowly diminish altogether. Another way, you know, that I'm receiving a message from you is to escape the situation that I now by creating in your brain, imagining happier places. Even sometimes remember pleasant memory, you know, things that made you laugh. And also what I am told is try to do that kind of a mindful meditation. Have you ever tried to do that in which you, how should I put it? You can even write down things like talk to your brother, take a pen and paper, take a deep breath and start writing the things that you feel your brother will tell you. And the more you do that, the more you release your frustration by writing down, because physically writing down things that stress you are releasing them from being part of your process in the brain. So you put your emotion and your struggle in your words. So the way you do that, immediately, you know, you feel like stress is going away, the pain is going away, the worries are going away. And you can immediately step into something different, like you progress, like you open a door to something else. Sometimes this is also called mindful writing. So try to do that. This is the way that you will find all kinds of things interesting that your brother will start telling you. Because he wants to communicate. And a way the spirit communicates, if you take a pen and a piece of paper and just listen to whatever the mind is telling you. Do you think you can do that?
Yes, I can. Yes, my Carmen, I can do that.
And you tell me how great this is gonna be and how wonderful you're gonna feel. But I am also told that in the next 6 months to 8 months, your life will change in an incredible way by new people stepping into your life, by new ideas, new doors that are going to open to you, the possibility of changing an environment, changing a residence. Get ready for many things that will create that new reality. Because when you move from where you are into a new environment, everything moves. You know, you let go of the emotion and the things that are no longer serve you. Okay, my beautiful.
Thank you so much.
So try all of this, and I love you, Michael. Call anytime you want. I'm gonna go to Padma in Chicago because I want to answer so many people. Hi, my Padma. How are you, my love?
Hello, Dr. Hara. How are you?
It's so good to hear your voice. How is my beautiful friend? I haven't heard from you in a while. I'm so glad that you called the show.
Oh, thank you so much. So, in the name of today's topic, the reason I'm calling is about my job.
Right.
So just to get to the question is, I just returned to work after maternity leave, but about a month ago, an opportunity has been in the background that I've been interviewing for with another organization, and they expressed their interest to me, and things seem to be going in a very positive direction. So I wanted to ask you whether you think that this is going to turn into an offer, and if it does, should I accept it? And I guess the hesitation is I've been in my current job for 5 years and there's just so much comfort and flexibility, but I'm not happy doing what I'm doing anymore either.
It's no more for you. So this is the door that closes in front of your eyes and you feel it. And, you know, you bless because the universe says, but I give you another direction. So I should say answer yes to both of your questions. Should you accept the job? Yes. Is this going to come to fruition? Absolutely. Is this your blessing? Yes. Is this a new beginning? Yes. Should you go for it? Absolutely. So this answers, you know, in very quickly answers everything. I'm glad that you have this opportunity. This is terrific.
Thank you. And just quickly, because I'm conscious of time. Last time you spoke, you mentioned that I would have a third baby.
You are.
And I just wanted to see, because with changing a job, I just wanted to see, do you have like an idea when that would be? Because I also want to be honest to myself and like make sure that I can manage my family and my work-life balance.
Oh, you are. I think for now you should concentrate on getting the job. So you started in a new direction, and somewhere I feel end of the year, beginning of the next year, then a new baby will come in, you know?
Your new baby will come. Okay.
Yeah.
Thank you. Mm-hmm. Do you feel it will be a boy or a girl?
I think you meant to have a boy, a girl. What do you have, a boy and a girl?
Right now I have a boy and a girl.
Yeah. I think you're going to have another boy.
Another boy. Okay, Dr. Hara. Thank you so much
so.
For putting my mind at ease, as always. I love you.
I
thank
love
you
for more.
Questions. Okay.
And
have a beautiful night.
Thank you for
night.
Calling me. I love you, my sweetheart.
I love you.
I'm gonna go to Valerie in California. Hi, Valerie. How are you, my love?
Hi, Carmen. Fine. How are you?
It's so good to talk to you, my Valerie. What are your questions to me?
Okay, I have two. My daughter is under a lot of stress. Do you see that changing? And also, is there a relationship coming in for her?
Right. Now tell your daughter to start exercising. Is she doing any kind of a dancing class, any Zumba, anything like that?
No, right now she's just working from home.
Right. I want her to get out. I want you to get out of this cocoon, of this environment where she feels the pressure and she feels she's not at ease, you know?
Well,
do you agree?
And that's a family issue that she can't really walk away from.
But nobody says to get to walk away. No.
Okay.
I'm just saying, 30 minutes a day, go take a class somewhere. Go somewhere and release whatever energy, you know, you feel. Get out of the in an environment around your area
just to be able to perceive the world differently. Because the best way to actually release stress is to exercise.
And I feel like your daughter needs that exercise. The physical exercise has such a positive impact in producing the feel-good neurotransmitters that are called endorphins. So it's a way of, practicing this, because it takes your attention away from stress. You work on your body every day in engaging, like she should do swimming, bicycle, yoga, dance classes, everything. This is the way to actually stay stress-free in life. I do this every day. I don't know if you guys follow me on social media. You see me going at dancing classes every day.
Because did you this see is a relationship for her?
I see a wonderful guy coming in her life. But it's so funny. I see both. Does your daughter has a bicycle?
No, she doesn't.
Okay, I see her and the new boyfriend on a bicycle. This might sound crazy, but I really see her with a wonderful guy. So sweet, so nice, perfect for her. I promise you this.
Is it this year?
This is happening relatively quickly, 2-3 months from now. You will see. You will call me and let me know.
Oh, beautiful. Thank you, Carmen.
I love you, my Valerie. I love you too. I love everybody. I'm Carmen Jara. I'll see you next Tuesday, same place, same time, on Time Radio. Thank you for listening.